Welcome back, everyone, to the Prepared Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Austin. It is over 60 degrees here in Michigan. We cracked 5,000 subscribers on YouTube, and I have a blue monster. So we are strapped in. We are ready to go for this week's episode, you guys. Happy to have you on board for yet another discussion. And truly, for those of you guys listening, you're probably an audience on more than one platform, so I do want to just take a moment and say a very special to me thank you for your support, for our continued growth, right? So cracking 5,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel, not a big deal for other channels and things, but to give you guys some insight, I've been doing most of the channel work myself for the better part of the past year. There were some you know, reorg changes and things like that had to be made last year, and I took everything on myself and kind of just, you know, looked at everything head on and said, hey, I can do this. I'm going to not quit. It's the way I've done things. You know, the podcast continues to grow, the YouTube channel continues to grow, and honestly, as of late, very oddly, gotten a lot more traction on Instagram, which is very surprising considering that that platform likes to, you know, block people off and shadow ban, all those terms, right, for cutting off people in the community who have genuine good information and great things to say and share. That is not the platform you usually see any kind of real growth and traction on, but I will tell you guys, the last month or two, man, I've really felt the love. So it's been very cool to see that. And then obviously, yes, the 5,000 on YouTube, and I got to put something together for that. I think that one's probably worth trying to pull together some giveaway prizes or something like that. So if you guys are listening to this, you're one of the supporters of the podcast here, you run a business in the 2A community, maybe you want to donate to that, let me know. I'm going to try and put that together in the next couple of weeks, just as a small way of saying thank you, because I like to, you know, one of the things I've done continuously through getting to this point with the podcast has been celebrate the little wins. So when we break 1,000 of something, 5,000, whatever, you know, make sure that we celebrate that, call it out, be happy about it, enjoy it for the success that it is, and then move on to the next one and, you know, full steam ahead. And yeah, if you guys are looking for additional ways to support us, there's also the Patreon channel. So if you guys check out patreon.com/prepared_mindset_pod, got the Patreon, got some videos, some articles, some blogs, all kinds of good stuff, exclusive recordings and stuff on there as well. If you're just looking for one more way to help contribute to make PMP what it is and help keep us going, because without you guys as an audience, I mean, why do we even bother existing? You know what I'm saying? So with that, a very big thank you to all of you. And of course, want to say thank you to our presenting sponsor for the podcast. You guys, we're very blessed here and very fortunate to be a sponsored podcast and work with some just outstanding individuals. And I want to say a very huge thank you to the whole team over at Custom Night Vision. You guys, their website is CustomNightVision.com. I was actually poking around it myself yesterday and the day before, just checking out what's on there, because they're always adding new things, whether it's Fat Boy tripods or optics from Arkin, or they're making updates to pricing and things to reflect changes out there in the market to try and bring you guys the absolute best point of entry possible to get into night vision. If you're somebody who has convinced yourself that you cannot afford night vision, head on over to CustomNightVision.com and check out the prices, check out the inventory they have available, whether it's a monocular unit or a binocular unit, and reach out to the team at Custom, whether it's through the shop phone or they have a chat function that's actually built into the lower right-hand corner there of the website. Again, that's CustomNightVision.com. Reach out and talk to them, you guys. Find out what your budget is. Figure out what you need, what your use case is, and you might be surprised. Maybe get into a nice Elbit PVS-14, or now that the Talon is available from Nocturne Industries, maybe a better solution there, a lighter solution, certainly with more features from Nocturne Industries. Guys, Custom Night Vision stocks the entire lineup from Nocturne, as well as companies like Lloyd Innovations, AB Night Vision, and more. So whether you're looking for a set of dual tubes, or you're just balling on a budget, you're trying to get the most affordable bang for your buck solution with something like a tried and true PVS-14, whether that's with some NNVT tubes, some Photonis tubes, Elbit, or yes, even L3, The guys at Custom are going to take absolutely outstanding care of you. Just let them know that Austin from Prepared Mindset set you guys over. They're going to talk to you. They're going to answer your questions, you know, whether white phosphor or green phosphor is better for you, if it makes a difference at all. They also have a full lineup of lasers, helmets, lights, mounts, all the accessories you need to go from nothing to everything in one shop, you guys. It's customnightvision.com. Head over to the website, check it all out for yourself today, and pick up some new gear. So very, very thankful, very grateful to work with those guys, and happy to have their support here as we continue to grow and be successful as a podcast, as a YouTube channel, and I would say as an influence in the ecosystem here. Because, you know, if you guys listened to the last couple episodes, you know, I try to use the word ecosystem, or phrase rather, ecosystem, to describe what we have here rather than the community, because, well, just reasons. If you guys spend any time on social media, you know, we don't always behave like a community here. We behave like an ecosystem, and everybody usually gets a good chuckle out of that, and I certainly still do years later, borrowing that from my friend Brandon, who I believe is, I'm pretty sure, celebrating a birthday today. So at the time of this recording anyways, happy birthday to my buddy Ninebanger out there, and this will be dropping probably a day or two after, so however that goes, hopefully it's a good day for him. But for you guys, we have a brand spanking new discussion this week. New guest. Try to bring these to you guys, obviously, every week. And when we can't bring a guest on here, you guys get to listen to me, which is a real, real treat. But this week, we are sitting down with Jack of Guerrilla Tactical. I got to meet and catch up with Jack at SHOT Show, actually, at the... I want to say it was, I'm going to say Primary Weapon Systems, but I don't think it was, maybe it was like the Barrett booth or something. I can think of what part of the show floor it was on. It was like level 2 of the Venetian, but I don't think it was PWS, and I don't think it was Barrett, honestly. Maybe it was the Knights booth. It might have been the Knights Armament booth, actually. Ran into him, just, it wasn't planned, just kind of sort of came together and got to talking, because we actually had this on the books before, and with everything that's going on, you know, Guerrilla's making moves, they're growing, they're moving facilities, they're doing all kinds of really, really good stuff out there, and we had to actually cancel our first date together, which maybe me big sad, and I definitely took every advantage possible to make him feel bad about it at SHOT Show. But definitely looking forward to this one. Happy to be able to sit down with Jack and talk with him, because, you know, I think there's so many good companies out there. There's so many good individuals that are contributing right to the community, to the ecosystem, with the work that they're doing, the products that they're creating. And there's just always a lot to see, a lot to hear. So looking forward to this one. I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy it. So let's jump on over to this week's discussion with Jack. Here we go, guys. Jack, welcome to the podcast, man. How the hell are you?
Dude, thanks for having me, Austin. Man, things are good. Since we linked up at SHOT Show, it's been super busy around here. We've been adding people, adding capabilities, scaling as best we can, trying to ride this crazy wave that is the economy in the world, but here in the US. But no, I'm happy to say things are going pretty well. So yeah.
Good, dude. Yeah, I was surprised we were able to connect at SHOT. Not because we couldn't do it, but just because it happened without planning. I think we ran into each other at like, I was thinking
Knights
about
or something.
I think it was Knights. Yeah. Yeah. That was when I was in the intro, I was saying that. I was like, I'm thinking it's PWS, but it wasn't the primary booth. I know that. I was like, was it Barrett? I don't know. I think because like I saw you through a rifle rack and then realized who you were and everything.
It was right after I had told the guy working the floor that I had more Knights rifles in my safe at home than he did on his rack, and he didn't believe me. So, but I'm not lying.
I don't think most people would believe you on that one. Like, damn, bro. And that was, that was my first year going to SHOT. How many, do you guys go every year?
Yeah. Fortunately and unfortunately, I'm there every year. So, 5 years, I guess that's the fifth SHOT Show, I think. Well, I guess it maybe was four, because I think they skipped one in 2020 for COVID or something like that. So it might have been four years in a row.
I was just happy I made it out with, I didn't get the like SHOT flu. You know, I didn't like get super sick or anything. I just, whether it's, I don't know if it's rude or not, it's every time I shook somebody's hand, like immediately after, like you met my wife at SHOT, I was like, okay, give me the hand sanitizer, you know, just. Yep. After every interaction, like religiously. And
it's probably smart, because everyone's always getting sick every single year. And knock on wood, 4 years in a row, I haven't gotten sick. So I don't know what the secret is. But somehow I keep dodging it and avoiding it. So I'm hoping to avoid that SHOT Show crud for years to
Yeah,
come. So we'll see.
that was my like that was one of my goals going into it was like make connections, meet people, not get
Don't
that
get
damn
sick.
flu that puts you out for like 2 weeks.
Drink more water. Don't get a flu.
Right. And that was yeah, definitely it. But yeah, man, so let's like dive in 'cause I know we've been we had this together like
Yeah.
holidays and then you guys got so much stuff going on and like we postponed and then reschedule all this, like super excited to actually sit down and talk. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience and maybe just talk a little bit about Guerrilla Tactical, kind of what you guys, got going on and everything.
Sounds great. First and foremost, I just want to say thank you so much for having me,
Oh yeah.
setting this up again to do it again. I know that I left you hanging a little bit the last time. It was right after
I
during
cried
that Black
myself to
Friday
sleep. All
stuff.
right.
I know. I knew you were probably
Yeah.
losing sleep over it. I felt terrible. I started losing sleep over it. So again, I really appreciate it. Glad to be on. Jack from Guerrilla Tactical, had the company now for 5.5 years. We're going into the 6th year. We started middle of 2020. Holster manufacturing company, among many other things. We sell a lot of retail stuff. We do a lot of product development. We do some white labeling, and we just, try to have a fun time doing some cool media and educating our audience on all sorts of things. So we have a, tight-knit but growing team, a bunch of really good people here at the company. And yeah, we're just coming in every day, loving work. And it's my objective as the owner of the company. I am excited to come to work every single day. And we do our best at Guerrilla Tactical to really build that culture with all of our people here. And everyone has a great time, gets a lot done. So yeah, we're excited about it. And yeah, check out our Instagram page if you haven't seen it. And
Dude,
but
yeah,
maybe you have. Yeah.
you guys do good stuff with the media. I know I was looking at I think you because you guys moved facilities right around the same time you had
Yeah.
Black Monday, right? Which
Yeah,
like
unfortunately.
you didn't
So,
have enough going on with like family stuff, holiday time, holiday sales. Just let's throw a move in there too.
well, let's up that even the ante a little bit, and I'll throw in what actually happened. So we're running through biggest sale of the year, obviously Black Friday, Cyber Monday, that whole weekend, crushing it, thankfully. That's coming in. You have the holiday time fast approaching, you have Thanksgiving, you have Christmas right around the corner. We decide that we need to move facilities, which was a absolute necessity. So when something popped up, it was too good to be true. We went down, we saw it, we said, yep, we'll take it right away. So we're in the middle of all that. We're in the midst of that. Great timing in the sense that we needed the space and it presented itself. We're right on the waterfront in Stevenson, Washington, which is a small town in the lower
Awesome.
southern Cascades of Washington. Beautiful view of the river and the mountains around, and it's really picturesque, really great place to work. But on top of that, my wife and I also bought a new house
Oh,
at
good
the same
God,
time.
man.
So we were a little bit busy during that time.
I would say so. Buying, dude. Yeah, I mean, it's fresh in your mind, dude. Buying a house is like the best and worst thing ever because it's like, dude, new house, sick, and then the whole process. And I work in banking, like it. I'm familiar with it. I know it, and I hate it. It's so terrible.
I mean, I have to say that this time around, it was a pretty smooth and seamless process. We were very thankful for that. We were under contract in under a week, and then 3.5 weeks we closed on the house. But then we postponed everything until after Christmas. We went and visited my wife's family in Spain. That's where she's from. And then
Oh,
we
very
came
nice.
back and we hit the ground running. So we were getting and moved into the house, getting stuff shifted over, getting all of the production and all the equipment moved over to the new space, and just everyone was going a million miles a minute. But we got through it, and the shop is about, I would say, 70% set up the way that we'd like the workflow to be. And we're just so busy right now that we can't really finish dialing it in, but that'll come. And there's worse problems to have, so I can't complain.
No, those are great. I mean, it's frustrating, but also like really, I'm sure a very cool feeling when you're like, we're too busy to like stop and dial stuff in or, those tweaks and things that you probably the stuff at this point, I'm sure like your essential operations are up, but it's probably stuff where you're like, hey, I'd love
Absolutely.
to do this as a fun or like a iterative improvement project. We just don't have the time right now. Like that's
A
the
lot of
best
it
problem
is,
to have.
yeah, a lot of it right now is we kind of took our shop is much larger now than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The space was necessary, so we came in, we kind of took systems that we had in place at the old building and brought it over here and just threw them in against the wall, threw tables in against the wall, threw equipment onto those tables, just so we could start the process,
Oh, yeah.
molding, you know, cutting, finishing, all the above. So those workspaces for that workflow is not really dialed in yet, so it's not as efficient, but we're still able to get, you know, holsters out 1 to 3 business days for quick ships, 7 to 10 business days for fully custom stuff. So we're still staying pretty good with our lead times, getting stuff into people's hands, and eventually we will find a little bit of time here and there to chip away at getting things set up and making it more efficient. So we'll get there.
Why a holster company? Let me, because we talked a little bit before we hit record. There were a lot of companies that blew up during like COVID and even maybe a little bit beforehand. And I'll tell you, when I was getting ready to start this podcast, the buddy of mine that I had started it with, who's no longer involved, had talked about, oh, let's do a business, let's get something in the 2A space or whatever. I'm like, okay. He's like, we can do a holster company. It's easy. All you got to do is get, I think, what did he say? Like a press and a heat gun or something. I mean, come on, man. There's already a ton of those. So what, how did you, what, like, why a holster company?
Well, it's twofold, really. So if you rewind back probably 12 or 13 years now, I was messing around. I was, you know, taking a little break from work, and I was messing around at my parents' house at the time. And I was back visiting or something, and for a month or whatever. And I did some work for my dad, and then he traded me some tools like band saws and some stuff like that, some grinders. And I had this thought. I was like, you know what? I want to make myself a holster, because I was kind of unhappy. This is, you know, going back quite a few years now. So there weren't a lot of great, there's a lot of much better options on the market, obviously, these days, much better holsters in general. So I was messing around with these tools, making a holster for myself, and it was absolutely horrible. But it worked. It retained the gun, whatever. And I was like, you know what? I could make a holster company. And of course I didn't. That stuff collected dust all those years. I went and worked overseas for the better part of a decade in maritime security, and all over the world, worked in on ships, and I then found myself out of a job in the spring of 2020 because things were a little bit chaotic in the world, if you remember.
You don't say.
And so yeah, I found myself without a job, and I was twiddling my thumbs, and I had this idea. We had just finished building a really beautiful place. We built a small house by ourselves, by hand, up in the woods in Washington on 9 acre. And I was like playing around with the idea of like, oh, I want something for fun and something to do out here in nature or whatever. So I started forging and making my own knives. And I was doing this as kind of like an art form, a hobby, but also I was selling them, and it was making a little bit of money here and there, you know, get some orders in. And I was making some pretty nice Damascus steel pieces that was hand forging and hammering out and hammer and anvil and finishing, you know, everything, and selling some of these things. And I was using kydex as the sheath material. So the funny enough, if that's some of those same tools I had brought with me from the East Coast when I moved out to the West Coast, and had those same tools. So I was using those band saws and whatnot that I had kind of traded with my dad back in the day, for, and I was cutting kydex and making sheaths. So then, with everything happening in 2020, people were wanting to become more prepared and wanting to become gun owners and train and all the above. And so there was a big boom there, and I started having people ask me if I could make gun holsters. And I said, well, I mean, it's not really what I'm thinking about doing right now. I'm making knives, and it's keeping me very busy, but I can do a couple for a friend or whatever because I'm using kydex. So I started doing that, and it caught on, and friends were telling friends. And I, before you know it, I was getting 3 orders a week and 5 orders a week and 10 orders a week. And mind you, the holsters were absolute dog crap back then. So for all the people who are friends of friends, word of mouth, bought something from me and wanted to try it out, thank you so much for being an inaugural part about how we got to where we are today, because you probably have a horrendous holster, and hopefully it's been replaced since. But so that being said, within a couple of months, we were busy. I was busy. I was just a one-man show. Too busy to make knives, stop making knives, which was bittersweet, but that's fine. And then I said, hey, there's a real business model here. I should try to take this more seriously and maybe learn the process a little bit better, get some better tooling. And about 3.5 to 5 months in, I can't remember exactly. It was busy to the point that I had to bring on my first full-time employee. So that was a good friend of mine. Known him for, 10 years at that point. And we had done a lot of stuff together, and he actually now still 5 years later runs operations for the company. So he's my
I was going to
operations
ask,
manager
like,
still.
did that last? Because working with friends is always a hit and miss engagement for folks.
No, we work really well together. We're very much put our heads down and just grind, get stuff done. And it worked tremendously well over the last few years until we started having to add more and more people. So at that time, it was me, my wife, doing all of the media, and some other assistance with other parts of the production and order fulfillment and whatnot, and him. So the three of us ran it for the better part of 3.5 years that way, and we started to bring on some more help after that. And one of our biggest things that I always wanted to do from about the point that I was like, hey, this can be a real company, and I want it to be, was bringing the level of professionalism in social media, and whatnot. So we had a bit of a secret weapon that we didn't have to pay a lot of money for because my wife is a professional media person of over 10 years of experience. So she's worked all over the world, National Geographic,
Oh, no
Discovery, Animal
shit.
Planet, all
That's
the above. We
amazing.
actually met in Antarctica, working down there. So pretty cool story. And
Like the continent Antarctica, there's not like a bar where you're at named Antarctica.
like the continent Antarctica.
That is wild, man.
So
Jesus.
yeah. We've that was going on 12 years ago, and we've been together ever since. So married for seven.
Awesome.
So that was awesome because she stepped right in, and she didn't know a lot about firearms or whatever, but what she didn't know, I did. I was able to fill that gap, and we were able to really produce high quality content from day one. And that really has helped to bring in new people, attract people to the brand, and also just really spread a good message of community, as well as, showcasing important products or improvements or tips and tricks or whatever to our audience. And that's been a game changer from day one for sure.
Yeah, and I like the professionalism bit of it, and because I think that transcends like it's more than I think when people hear like, hey, oh, we're a professional company, they just think like size or something like that,
Of
or
course.
it's full time. But in reality, and this is one of the things that I like love and hate the most about the holster making segment of the industry is that you get companies like you guys, or I'll say like Tier One, T-Rex Arms and stuff, where the I'll say you like you can see the effort, the detail, the focus that's put into like media, photos, where you place and position your product because you want it to be shown in a good light. And then you see, and this I'm not throwing shade at anybody
No,
necessarily,
of
but it's
course.
always very funny to me how many like Kydex holster companies would put out these ugly, just they look raw and unfinished holsters. And then you like go look at the website and it's like, oh, we've been in business for 4 years. I'm like, and you've never refined this design. You're cool putting your name out here on this. The clips are held on by a single screw on each side and it looks like it's about to fall apart. And I'm like, and you want me to pay over $100 for this? Like, absolutely the F not, guys. Like, and I used to think there was more to it than that, but really, I think it's just like you want to grow. If you're selling enough of these that you are at a certain point, like start investing back into the business
100%.
and make iterative product enhancements. I know everybody goes through it. We talked a little bit about iterative improvement, with what you guys are doing in the moves and everything, but like I'm sure you just said the first couple of holsters were absolutely hideous. Now what you
Let's say
guys
the
make
first
are
couple hundred,
pretty.
probably.
Yeah, I mean, like you learn stuff, you figure it out, right? Now what you guys have is pretty sexy, right? You figure out how to make it, molded, aesthetically pleasing, and
And
consistency is,
functional. And
yeah.
functional. And that's one of the things that kind of brings me to my next point that's a huge improvement for us this year and we're extremely excited about is with the new space and the new direction that we're going and new tooling that we're bringing in, enclosed CNC machines and like Haas and that kind of stuff like that. We have now brought all of our engineering in-house. So we have professional
Now that's
engineers who have
huge.
been Yeah, I mean, this is really going to be the game-changing factor to everything. Like you said, we've had a fairly aesthetically pleasing holster for a few years. We've switched over to the newest ways of doing vacuum forming and working on those types of designs, making little changes as needed to make it as the fit as good as possible and the functionality as good as possible. So that more and more people want to carry every day. That's our whole mission, right? To educate and to get good quality gear in people's hands as fast as possible so that people can protect themselves, their community, and their loved ones, right? So that's what
100%.
that's at the end of the day, that's the only thing that we're doing here. So that being said, there's lots of improvements and stuff that I've been, either having my brain or I've been prototyping crudely or I've been writing down over the last year and a half, 2 years when we haven't had the ability to have those capabilities in-house. And I only know enough CAD and that kind of stuff to be problematic and not even dangerous, just problematic.
Just cause
So
problems, yeah.
yeah, so with being so busy trying to be the face of the company and trying to still have my hand in production right now a little bit and training new people and doing the media side of stuff, bringing in-house engineering has been a huge change. And right now we're actually going through and revamping a ton of stuff. And I'm able to work with our engineer every day of implementing new features and all sorts of stuff that we're rapid prototyping right now. 3D printing is great for that. We have a whole slew, little print farm in here, doing that on a daily basis. So a lot of really exciting stuff coming out to make things faster, stronger, better than ever before. So this is going to be a super big turning point year for the company in many ways, but one of the ways is going to be the sheer quality and repeatability of the product that's coming out of the door. So
Is it
we're excited about that.
just like mind blowing looking back at like where you guys were at to where you are now, like before we're
Absolutely.
like it's just Kydex and a heat gun to now it's like we need a full-time engineer for all of like a dedicated person of science that knows like because I learned CAD in college. I was originally going to school to be an architect. It is not a simple program to I'm not even gonna say master, just to learn how to use it is there's a curve there for sure. And like to have an like a dedicated individual that just knows all of those things, like, and that's I feel like that's not even like a I don't want to say it's not a big deal. It's an industry standard now. Like you have
It
to
is,
because
yeah.
that's just where it is.
Well, I mean, we have like so let me take a step back real quick and say that we don't really, especially in the holster company, as far as other holster companies go and whatnot, in this space, I always think of community over competition. Because if the mission is to get good quality gear as fast as possible into everyday people's hands so that they can better protect themselves, their loved ones, and their community, then if you're getting that from TXC, or you're getting that from Superstition Concealment, or you're getting that from Guerrilla Tactical, the mission is the same in our mind. So at one point there was, and those are both companies that are, we have friends in those companies. The owners of those companies are friends of ours. We are in group chats talking about CAD and design and CAM. And I love that there's other companies in the industry that think that way, that they don't see us as a threat and more so as, hey, these are good guys and we're wanting to share our little bit of tips and tricks. I mean, obviously no one's giving up all the secret sauce, you know
Big
what I
secrets,
mean?
yeah.
Of course, right? But we're happy. I mean, our engineer has helped other companies with CAD problems. You know what I mean? They've reached out to me and they say, hey, I don't understand this. And say, hey, no problem, here you go. Because at the end of the day, like I said, it's more than just the dollar amount attached to our sales for us here at this company. And that's for every, I can speak for everyone at the company, is our mission is to get gear into people's hands and to educate those people on all sorts of things, right? So, yeah, no, I mean, at the end of the day, people are finally realizing that you need to put that type of engineering into holsters. It's not just a pancake style thing or worse than that, leather or half 50-50 or whatever. The amount of quality coming out of some of these companies these days is unmatched by many. And that's where we aim to put ourselves as well. I think Guerrilla Tactical has really put itself on the map for the last couple of years. We're very much becoming a household name when people are talking about holsters. I think it's insane as someone who's watched, a nobody who's watched a company like T-Rex Arms, for instance, grow to the mega company that they are or were or whatever. We don't need to get into the stuff with Lucas. However people feel about that is whatever. I won't
Oh
comment on it.
boy.
But that being said, they're still very much at at the forefront. You have your companies like Blade Tech, and you have your companies like Alien Gear, and those are just megalotron companies, right? But then when you're talking about that next step smaller in the holster company game, TRX Arms, Tier One Concealed, TXE is growing right there. Our name is getting put out right alongside those companies when people are talking about holster companies in this day and age. And I think that's super amazing. And I can't thank, our team enough for getting us there. And then obviously all the support out there that believed in us and has purchased products, and done all that. It's just been awesome to see the growth. And I feel like we're only scratching the surface on our capabilities and where we're headed. So we're excited.
No, and it's really cool. I think it's a testament to like you as an owner and a leader, right? But then also just the team you have, right? Because like, everybody wants to do that kind of stuff. Like I said, me and my buddy had the idea, like, hey, we'll start a holster company. But any company in general, it's always easy to be like, yeah, we should do this. Everybody and their buddy who's ever had a beer together have had an idea to go start a business. And it's like it's a huge step to actually execute on it, and it's a big deal to actually see that through and be successful doing it. Because I know people that have kept businesses afloat by paying out of their pocket, month to month, and it's like, why don't you just let it go? You're not cut out for this. It's not as easy as people think, and it's also never like I grew up. My mother owned a restaurant, right? So like your own self-owned businesses never as rosy as people think. Like
No,
it's
never.
not an 8 to 5, not a 9 to 5. It's a lot of freaking work. And then let alone keeping up with, the trends in the industry. So you can't stay stagnant, and nor should you, right? I mean, we're talking about with holsters, you're talking about these are tools and solutions people are going to be using to protect themselves on probably the worst day of their life. Why would you not want to offer the best solution possible for those people? So I mean, it's kind of a serious thing too. Some people might probably look at it as a very innocuous thing, like, oh, it's just a holster, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Until you've actually used a shitty holster and you're like, I understand now. Like I've seen guys go to like concealed carry classes, not like the licensing class, but like a concealed pistol tactics course. And go to, hey, I appendix carry, cool. I'll go to draw, and the whole holster comes out with the gun and flies across the range. And
All
it's like,
sitting
cool. What's the
Well,
issue here?
it's kind of like I have a lot of tattoos, and I kind of talk about it in the sense of tattoos. If you have tattoos, you know this. People see tattoos and they don't know a lot of most people don't know what's good and what's bad. They just see color. And that happens a lot with the holster world as well. You see a lot of people that they don't understand the intricacies and the inner workings of the function of a holster, a properly functioning holster, how it retains the weapon, what retention actually is, how it works with your body, how it works with your belt, et cetera, all those things, right? And these are key factors to a comfortable concealed carry, to a fast and easy, smooth draw. And a lot of people don't know what that is. So that's really important right now with holster companies to educate all of our customers on that. We had a guy yesterday hit up customer service asking if we sold some SIG configuration for some weird light that, made in
No,
China, and
never.
no one
Bad.
and not
Bad.
Olight, some random thing that no one has. And he said he's been having a really hard time finding a holster for it. And I said, well, that's because that light, never caught on. No one offers it because there's so many better lights on the market that are tried and true and proven that will work when you need it most. And you, as with something that there's 1,000 different things out there in the world, like every holster company needs to decide what works for them, what works for their clientele, right? So I explained to him, we explained to him on customer service that there's some better options out there that are comparable in price. You'd be able to easily find a holster for it. We make multiple holsters for this, and here's why it's better. He didn't want to hear it, of course. He's like, oh, I think I'll just have to make my own holster. And I said, well, okay. But that's what happens. Like, some people very crafty. They can go out, get all the stuff, do their blocking properly. You're gonna have an okay holster. It's not gonna be like, fine-tuned and vacuums formed or whatever, and I said, okay, you just got to know when to say, okay, man, good luck. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
best of
best of
luck to
luck
you.
with
But
that.
that's where you find, there are makers out there, and I'm not, again, I'm not throwing shade on anybody. Everyone starts somewhere, and I just hope that everybody realizes that where the improvement's needed and works towards actually improving their product or their craft. We certainly had to deal with that as well. And but then you have your people doing like DIY stuff in their garage, and then they go to a pistol class and they go to draw on the holster and the gun go flying across.
Yard skills. Well,
So that's
and you know, anybody that's like, I feel like everyone goes through it. Everyone tries to cut corners when they get their first couple guns, their first couple lights. Like everyone tries to. We all go through that budget phase. I mean, there's like two people, you know, people who've gone through it and figured it out, and then liars. Like I have a buddy who, you know, we kind of like peer pressured him into, you know, getting from strong side carry to appendix carry. But then, like, oh yeah, I went and bought this appendix, you know, style, like sidecar style holster, right? Off Amazon. It's like $60, dude. And I'm like, yep,
There's a
I've had enough,
reason.
or I returned it. And, you know, it's like, oh, it's got one clip on it. The mag sits really high, so it prints pretty awfully. And I'm sure there's probably reasons why they did that, probably to save money or something. And it's like, dude, these things are, and it wasn't that adjustable. It just, look, dude, you get what you pay for. There's a reason why, and I hate pointing to like social media and influencers as any kind of metric for anything, but I do with certain things, and holsters are certainly part of that, right? Is there a bunch of people using it? Can you find me anybody that's using it? Is there a hashtag for that company? Like, what does their
Right.
social media look like? Like
Right.
volume wise, what does everything look like? Is it well adopted? Maybe it's a regional thing, like small holster companies.
Yep.
You get a bunch of people clustered around them that use it, whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
If you can't find anybody running this thing, there's probably a fucking reason why. And then you use that holster, you figure out it sucked. Either the retention's way too tight, way too loose. My least, or I guess my biggest pet peeve is usually, especially with like the, I don't know, I guess it's appendix rig. I hate calling everything a sidecar because that's a T-Rex thing.
I mean, they
But like,
invented it.
yeah, you know, I guess that's fair. But when they can't get the magazine retention right, and there's just, you crank that thing down as hard as you
Oh,
can,
yeah.
and it still just never seems to fit quite right.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, cool. Why can't we get this figured out? And that's the kind of stuff, like, until you get, you know, dozens and hundreds of reps in, either dry or live fire, or whatever, you don't really appreciate what a good holster or a good holster and mag carrier will do for you. And
Oh, for sure.
again, this is the stuff you want it to be predictable. You want it to be reliable. You don't, you like, as a concerned citizen, the day that you have to actually use that is going to be a really, really bad fucking time. Whether you just have to draw your firearm and then that de-escalates things, or you actually have to shoot somebody, right? God forbid. It's really fucking bad. You want that gear, you want that equipment to work exactly the way that you and your mind are predicting that it will. Otherwise, it's a failure. And that's what you're paying for, man. Let's go get a good holster. Companies like what you guys are doing, it makes a difference.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like you said, when it comes, and it's the same thing. We sell a lot of medical equipment as well, our own IFACs that we've built out. We sell, you know, other sorts of everyday carry medical solutions inside the waistband IFACs and ways to carry tourniquets and all that stuff. Because, you know, we believe that to complete the circle, if you're carrying a gun every day and you're not carrying essential medical supplies with you, then you're missing out on something, right? So it's this, it's that same kind of idea, is that like, if you're buying really crappy stuff off of Amazon, that the windlass on the tourniquet's going to break as soon as you go to turn it, which we've seen time and time again, then you're not really doing yourself or anyone else any favors. And you're talking the difference of $15. Like, you're talking $12 of a difference between something from China that's going to rip off and break an off-brand Cat or whatever, and an actual Cat 7 that's going to last and work when you need it. And it's just insane to me that, you know, people, you know, this is where the education comes in. You know, that it's up to us as companies to educate our clientele or our supporters and
100%.
fans. And, you know, people say, oh, it's kind of like, you know, getting old hearing about medical or whatever because it's not sexy or whatever, which is true, it's not. But you know what else is? Bleeding out sucks. So I can tell you that we're going to keep, you know, no matter how many memes you see about a beautiful, perfect place to bleed out, we got tons of places around here in the Pacific Northwest that are beautiful places to bleed out, but I'm not trying to do it. So I wouldn't
Yeah.
expect anyone else. So yeah, that's why we keep banging that, you know, that banging of that drum.
Well, and it's nice to see enhancements in the tourniquet space that like to pair with it too, just because. And I remember like 10-ish years ago, 8 years ago, people were like, oh, check out this really cool RATS tourniquet. You can run it through your belt loops. And I'm like,
Sick.
that sucks. I don't want to do that. Like, like it mess with it every time I go to the bathroom. Like, no, it's okay, you know. And guys are like, oh, well, who was it? There was some guy, I hated his YouTube channel. He would like, oh yeah, I have my wife run a line of stitching down my pocket so I can like keep a spare mag separate from my wallet, or like I can fit a tourniquet in there. I'm like, yeah, dude, cool DIY, but like, or like ankle kits were really popular for a while, and I'm sure they're good
The
for some
worst.
things, but like, I just, you know, why do we not have, and we do now, obviously, right? But at the time, I'm like, why is there not a better way to carry it? Like, if you're telling me that the cat tourniquet or any tourniquet is essential, and it is, why do we not have better ways to carry it? And, you know, in the last couple of years, I think there's a couple out there. I know what you guys do is really, it's like a holster clip, right? I think, and it's mostly fabric. It's really, it looks comfortable to carry with, because that's the other big problem is when you get that huge, bulky plastic tourniquet carrier. And I think Fieldcraft used to make one. I was like, I am not shoving that in my waistband, dude. That looks like hella uncomfortable.
One of the biggest things that's happened the last few years is the creation of the snake staff tourniquet. They're ETQ and ETQ wide. With the more and more testing that they're doing every single month, more and more data is coming out that they are workable tourniquets. I know people, any new medical product hitting the field is a little scary for some when you're used to something like a Cat 7. And I get that, but the reality is no one is carrying a Cat 7. There's a very, very small percentage of people that are actually having a tourniquet of that size on their person at all times. And I'm not talking about the backpack that you leave in your truck when you go in the store. I'm talking about having that with you at all times. So when Snake Staff came out, their Flux is good friends of ours. So, you know, same under the same umbrella, people running Snake Staff, and doing really cool stuff. They sent us some tourniquets and we bought some and we were testing them and doing our own Doppler testing and whatnot with them and finding the results to be pretty good. And then after about 6 months of them being released, we started carrying them on the website as an alternative for not an alternative to like change it out on your belt or your play carrier or anything from a cat, because I don't think it's necessary, but for an everyday carry option. And that's been really great because it's changed a lot of people's ability to carry essential medical supplies like a tourniquet everywhere you go with ease. And one of the things that we did was we had the tourniquets. They were getting lost in our pocket. And at the time, they had like the snake skin or whatever. I think they have a few different iterations of it now, but it was just a nylon sleeve with a tag that slid over it. And all that did really, and it was a good effort at having a way to encompass the tourniquet, but all that did was kept it lost in your pocket, and then you need two hands to pull it apart. So when they first came out, we created our expedient carry system, which is laser cut kydex with a little bit of cord, shock cord, and an adjustable clip. Apex clip is what we use on them because they lock right into the side of your pants, and it just fits the same profile as a pocket knife in your pocket. Disappears, you forget it's there, but you have two finger application of the tourniquet every time. You can reach it with two fingers, and every single draw stroke is going to bring that tourniquet out and have it ready to go. So if your tourniquet staged properly and it's in our expedient carry system, you can just pinch that, pull it out. You're going to have the tourniquet in your hand in half a second, and you're able to self-apply or apply that to anyone else. And we get so many stories and emails from people, and I love to hear this feedback, but it's terrible that people are put in these situations, but this is just the reality that we live in. That people are using our med kits, our GTDK, our GTDK sidekick, where they're rolling up on accidents. There's been reports of shootings that people have been the first responder on the scene for, and especially using the Snake Staff tourniquets with our expedient carry system. And every report has been so happy that it was right on me. I forgot it was there, but when this happened in front of me, I had a tourniquet. So that's the only reason why we make that product, is so people can do that.
Yeah,
So.
and even considering that, like, that's not under the same like stringent regulation that a firearm is. So like, if you can't carry a gun, if you can't carry a knife, you can still carry a tourniquet with you, and you should. You know, I think there's a couple of companies out there that are doing, you know, the little like wallet, like dad wallet. It's pretty large. Medical kits you can throw in like a back pocket or something. That are pretty cool. But have it. You know what I mean? Like, it's an option. And I think that the more comfortable you can make this stuff, the easier it is for people to reach for it and carry it. Again, it's the same with holsters, right? Like, when we're talking about people who are getting their CPL, whether it was during COVID or since, everyone wants to carry a gun, right? I don't know why, like, but everyone wants to, until you realize that it's like, oh, this is uncomfortable. Oh, I have to buy, you know, I think most of them have the flex built in the waist. Now my jeans have to go up a size, or I have to get flex waist jeans, which, was honestly like the best thing I ever did. They're so comfortable.
The
But
best thing you can do.
well, when I went into an American Eagle and the sales girl, I was like with now my wife, but my girlfriend at the time, right? And she's like, they're like jeggings, but for men. I was like, you just lost me, sister. I am not. And like, no, please go try them. And I was like, yeah, no, okay, fine. This is great. I
Yeah,
love
like this
this.
is the best thing since sliced bread. No, it's funny because CS gets a lot of emails like that, being like, this is my first holster and I put it into my waistband and it sucks. And you're like, yeah, but tell me more. And they're like, oh, well, I wear skinny jeans and I have the, and I'm like, you don't have the right belt. You need to change your aesthetic a little bit. You need to up your pant size. Like you said, if you're not having flex jeans or flex pants now, you need to go up a half size, a full size on your waist, because you're putting a foreign object in to a space that you never had anything before. You're not used to it. And once they do that, they write back always, and they're like, hey, thank you so much for the tips. I got a better belt that supports the holster and I up my pant size and now I forget it's there. And I'm like, mission accomplished, because
I had that conversation with my twin brother, honestly. I mean, he was carrying, and I was like, why don't you try appendix carry? He's like, no, it's uncomfortable. I don't like it. I'm like, well, maybe you need to get different jeans. Ooh, fuck you. I'm like, no, listen, like, believe me, I'm gonna take every opportunity I can to call you fat. But it realistically, like, you're wearing jeans that fit, which you should. However, now you're adding space to that. Even with the at the time, I think, Glock 43, like, you don't need a ton of extra space, dude, but you're gonna want some extra space for comfort and stuff. And yeah, people don't realize, it's like, well, I don't want to drop, well, I don't know, $1,000 on a whole new wardrobe. Like, well, then don't, but do it iteratively, like maybe every check, go buy a pair of jeans or something, like figure out how to make it work. It is a lifestyle adjustment. You can
It is,
always
yeah.
tighten. You can always tighten up your pants. You can always get it. I like the ratcheting, like the core belts and stuff are great. I wear it, well, next belt, but yeah, same concept, right? You can always go a couple clicks tighter, right? You can't always let it out if the pants are only a certain size. So, as basic a thing is, it's funny to me. You still get those kinds of feedback items and stuff like, oh, your holster sucks. It's uncomfortable. It hurt my tum tum. Like, what did you do?
Yeah, you tell me more, because it's, I can tell you, we have thousands of reports from people and reviews from people that it was very comfortable for. So something tells me that you need to change up something that you're doing, and we could probably figure it out. So we're happy to help with that stuff. We get, like any company, I'm sure we get a lot of new gun owners finding us and through Google or whatever, and stumbling on the site and thinking it looks cool, or seeing the Instagram page and connecting in some way, and they want to buy a product, which is awesome. And then yeah, then we get those questions, the new gun owner questions, and that's why we put videos out about that, and that's why we're always happy to, CS is happy to answer those questions from people. And it's all, as a consumer myself, first and foremost, I've unfortunately don't bought a lot of things. My wife would be unhappy, right? spent a lot of money on in the gun space and other spaces. As a consumer, I want my customer experience to be good, so I wouldn't expect, just as much as we want the culture here at the shop to be great and people to be happy when they're working, I wouldn't expect to go to work and hate it. I would hate that and wouldn't want to do it to anybody. I want my customer experience to be great as well, because if I email a company, I expect at least a response back within a couple of days, and hopefully they can answer my question because I want to buy their product. And that's kind of what we're all doing here anyway. So we work hard at that. Customer service is a big part of what we do. And you can email us, and even if it doesn't pertain to what we're doing, we'll try our best to answer that question for you and get you set up. So
What do you guys see them like? And I don't know if you know off the top of your head, sales wise and stuff. What do you guys see people adopting the most of? Because I know, a handful of years ago, it was all about that appendix rig, the sidecar style rig. You had to have it. It feels like we're finally starting to see a little bit of like the pendulum swing back to the separate holster and mag carry. Like, it doesn't really make a difference. I'm just curious because I think, some people are convinced like that they have to have a certain thing. And it's like I carried a T-Rex sidecar for the last almost 2 years, and then like got a wild hair at my ass like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, I'm gonna go back to a separate holster, mag carry, whatever. And I was like, wow, this is so much more comfortable. Like, what have I been, like it's not the same for everyone. Body shapes and sizes are a little bit
Yeah, for
different.
sure.
But so just curious, like, what do you guys see?
Yeah, so we kind of see that trend as well. We sell a we call it our our side by side is our sidecar like holster. And we sell a fair amount of those or whatever, but the low pro, light bearing low pro, or just the regular one without the light, those two holsters are by far the best selling holsters that we do. And then we do see a pairing a lot with the one shot mag carry that we offer. So I think, like, kind of going back to what you were just saying, we are seeing a little bit of a shift of people doing a bit of that separation. And then also there's like a lot of companies out there that are basically selling separate a mag carry and a holster, but then they're having like a little piece of Tegris or something that's like connecting them. So that's like a big thing as well. That's that I'm seeing. We don't offer something like that, but I have heard reports from other people saying that they have used an integration piece that another company sells or whatever. Very much like maybe someone uses like a wedge from someone else they stick on the back of a holster, and it works. So like I said, we haven't. That's not something that we ventured into. We actually have some stuff in the works, and I'm hoping. And I'm being hopeful here, saying that we'll be able to have something third quarter of this year. That's what we're shooting for. But I'm not gonna spill the beans. I'm not gonna make any promises. But it will, if the testing continues the way that we've been testing it, I do think it's really gonna redefine the way people want to carry holsters, similarly to how TRX Arms created the sidecar, and that hit the market, and it was all the rage. So that's all I can really say about that right now, but we are actively working in engineering and whatnot to create something that's not been done before, and we really are hoping that it's going to work the way that we think it will, because it's going to be we want a better carry for ourselves and all of our people here, and that's why we do things to try to actively improve for everyone else. So
Yeah, no, and I think the whole sidecar concept with like the spine was interesting. Like, oh, you can swap stuff out, and I always found it interesting because as soon as that became a thing, there was like a wave of people that are like, you should be carrying a tourniquet, which I agree with. So you should only buy it with the tourniquet attachment, whatever. And I was like, yeah. However, counterpoint, what's the most likely thing to fail on your firearm? Probably the magazine, usually. Not that something else can't break, but it's like we have backup irons for a reason, right? Whatever. And it's like I'm not gonna forego carrying a second magazine if I had to choose between one. Now, luckily, we don't
Dude,
have to.
you don't need all that ammo, dude. Why would you carry that magazine, dude? You know,
FBI statistics say that you're,
statistically, we get that. We get those guys too. They're like, why would you carry another? And I go, because you can't. I'm like, why would you not? And they're like, statistically, I'm like, are you anti-gun? Like, are you anti like people carrying a weapon and protecting themselves? Like, what's going on? No, of course not. I'm like, oh, and let me guess, you don't think red dots are good either? And of course they're like, oh, well, you know, so.
It's so fucked up that it's 2026 and we still have people that are like waving those flags. Like, I did too for a minute. I was like, yeah, and you know what it really was? I didn't want to spend the money putting a dot on my pistol. Oh, it's okay. Red dots, the batteries die and it's less reliable than irons. And then I went to a concealed carry tactics course, with my wife, and the guys that were beating me consistently on speed were the
Oh
ones
yeah.
running. And I was like, that's it. Like, literally.
It's a cheat code. And when it's life or death, why would you not cheat everywhere that you can?
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, like they were, I mean, like tenths of seconds faster than me. And more importantly, what really bothered me is that my wife, who didn't dry fire nearly as much as me, was almost faster than me. Like way closer than I was comfortable with. I'm like, that's it. I can't allow this to stand. Like went out like the next day, I ordered like a 407K because it carry a Glock 43X, right? And then Monday on my lunch break, I like drove across town to drop it off to get milled. I'm like, I can't abide this. This cannot be what happens. My wife cannot shoot faster than me.
And you never looked back. The dot went on, and that was it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, it's just, I mean, yeah, it's 2026. Like red dots are, they're so affordable, right? I mean, Hollow Sun, and I people get heartburn over the Hollow Sun stuff. Either you like it or you don't, whatever. My point is, it's more accessible now at an affordable
Absolutely.
point, and it's not junk. Like they make
No.
reliable,
Hollow Sun
functional optics.
makes great optics for the price point. Like you don't need to put,
Yeah.
you don't need to put an Acro P2 on your gun to shoot well. There's enclosed emitter optics from Hollow Sun that are absolutely fine.
And if you
Absolutely.
want an acro, like go for it. I remember what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, those things were like unobtainium. You
Oh
could
yeah.
not find the acros. And because that's what I wanted. And I was like, I'll try this 509T. And I now own two of them. and they're fine. Like they're good optics. Like it's weird. I wish they had an acro footprint, but other than that, like they're good. The solar backup, side load battery, all the controls. Like that's just they attack that segment. You know what I mean? And now they kind of own it.
Yeah, no, for
As
sure.
much as people hate to hear it, but.
Another really good company that we've been messing around with some stuff for the last couple of years is Lead and Steel. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
am
And
good. I
they
was texting Ahmad the
okay.
other night. Good friends with
Okay.
him. Yeah.
Yeah. We're friends with them too. It's not just a plug because we know them and they're friends, but no, we actually like the stuff and they actually, they do have an acro footprint on their stuff, so it's
Yeah,
nice.
the PB3 is fucking outstanding. The only thing
We just got one.
I'm running one on a rifle right now, and the only thing I don't like is that there's like if you want to run like a 226 height mount, there's like no options for acro footprint 226 mounts. There's like the
Is there
Arisaka one, and then there's
does
I'm sure
Castle have their 226 out? I forget.
maybe, probably,
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll have to check
maybe.
and see because we might have one in the shop, but Castle making good stuff too, so we've been running a
I
lot of their
have heard of
mounts
that.
lately.
Yeah. That was my biggest quandary. I was like, I'll go look at what Unity had, and Unity's. I like Unity, but like the with the mounting plate and stuff, I was like, this looks kind of ugly and overbuilt for. It's like this massive mount for this tiny
It's
little red.
not necessary.
Yeah, I was like, can't we just get like the T2 mount that you guys make with an acro footprint cut into the top of it? That would be
You would
baller.
think, especially now with people running acro footprint optics like the P2, like you would think that more and more companies like Unity would start putting that out there because it's not that much of a difference to change their tooling a little bit to start producing those mounts. Like it's pretty
No, and
easy.
you're seeing enough of it between I would think like the P2, the PB3, and then I think the MPS is also on an acro footprint, and I know I've seen
I think
those
so.
like they're like why not? And honestly, I don't want to say the acro footprint is more secure than the T2. That's probably not true. It's definitely easier to work with though. Like it's
Excuse
not
me.
like a bottom entry, footprint with the screws and
No,
everything.
for sure. No, I do prefer it for sure. So I do shoot like SROs mostly on like competition style guns. I just like the speed in
Yeah.
the window on those, but I definitely have a couple acros on a couple Glocks and yeah.
Yeah, I definitely messed up at SHOT Show. Walking around, went to the Trigicon booth, my wife on the SROs, and I don't know if they make one in green. If they do, that's like the top of her wish list. I was like, sick, like a $700 pistol dot. Yeah, babe, whatever you want. We'll for sure get that. Because she's got a pretty gnarly astigmatism. So she's like, she Kotex. Because the holographic technology, but then on pistols, there's not real, we don't own anything with a green dot. And she loved the size of the window. I'm like, of course, shit.
No,
So,
definitely.
and I hear
Yeah,
nothing
man.
but good things about them. I've never actually ran one myself, but other than just playing with it at SHOT Show, like, and it's weird. I feel like just the shape, I know it's not that much larger, it just seems that much bigger just because of the shape of the optic window and everything.
For sure. That circular optic window like that. It's like it's not quite as rugged as an RMR. But it's like, I wouldn't want to be the SRO drop it on concrete like that, but for like an everyday kind of carry gun or whatever, I might not run it, but like for competition stuff or whatever and that style shooting, it's been awesome. So yeah, we like them.
And
Definitely.
that's why I've embraced the PB3 so heavily, because those things are in tanks, dude. Lead and Steel makes,
Indestructible, man.
yeah, they're I like the rifle optic. I moved away from it to try something lighter with the PB3, and I love them both. They're super durable, man. Like that's just the thing. Like, and I, EOTech's a Michigan company, and I love EOTech, but like you see some of the weird delamination stuff that comes out, and I've had people tell me they travel with their optic and they open their Pelican and it just broke. And I'm
Yeah,
like,
there's been some weird stories like that for sure. I've fortunately not experienced that myself, but I've definitely seen it happen before. And yeah, no, I mean, Lead and Steel, yeah, I mean, as far as up and coming companies doing cool stuff, like they're in the optic market, they're doing some cool stuff for sure.
What was your, let me ask you this, because I was just gonna like thinking about it. I met with them at SHOT Show and everything. Do you have anything like at SHOT that you came across that was like, wow, man? Because it, I feel like it's 80% stuff that got 2% better, and then you get 20% of the show is really like cool new stuff.
It's kind of, I feel like it's that way every year. Like, I feel like the last couple of years I've kind of felt like, oh, it's all about relationship building. It's about seeing people you haven't seen in a long time. It's and less about like, for me anyways, walking the floor and seeing like new cool things, like a lot of the stuff doesn't really pertain to anything that we do. We saw some like cool night vision stuff, which like some articulating quad tubes with thermal overlay and stuff like that to
Oh,
bring the price point down. It's a bit more affordable. Obviously, like $40,000 is still
yeah.
$40,000, but
It's all
considering
relative.
it's yeah, you know, I mean, I think they're getting it down to that like $30,000 point or whatever. And so that's kind of cool to see as far as like that kind of technology dropping in price a little bit, becoming a bit more accessible. But otherwise, I'm trying to think, what do we definitely walked the floor a bunch, but we didn't really see too many things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like to me it kind of all blurred together and it was a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah. The I'll agree with you. The quad tubes, seeing the Chimera from Nocturne was really cool, but I'm good friends with the guys over at Low Light Innovations and their Mars unit, like the omnidirectional quad tube housing they put together. I had no idea that was even like in development. And then I get there and they have like two of them or something. I'm like, when did it was just one. I don't know. I'm like, when the hell did this happen? They're like, oh yeah, we worked on this for a while. I go, yeah. I mean, obviously, you didn't just put this together before you got on the plane. But like, seeing some of the innovation in the night vision space, and to your point, right, making it a lower level of entry financially, super cool that you start to see more companies doing that kind of thing. Like Dot, the company that does that holographic optic.
Oh,
That's it just looks like a rectangle on top of your rifle. Super nice guys. They're coming out with a laser, and that was actually my wife's favorite part of the show because it's like super ergonomic as long as you're a right-handed shooter. Because it's just the way it's built, it works well for your support hand. And so now I have like $2,000 worth of stuff I have to buy when it hits the market to make her happy. But I was my first SHOT Show, so everything was cool to me. I was just happy to be
No,
there.
for sure. Yeah, no, it's definitely a fun time, and you know, we always make that joke. I think most people make that joke. You kind of it's a love-hate relationship with SHOT Show, but the reality is every year we look forward to it and we always have a fun time. We always have good meetings. We always get inspired. That's one of the biggest things for us as well, as you go down there. And this year we took I think we took six people. About half of which had never been to SHOT Show before or new to the company. And so that was awesome for them to get down there and, you know, spend a few days on the floor getting to really see in depth of, you know, what kind of the industry has to offer and what new projects we're working on, or sit in some meetings, maybe make some contacts themselves and really get a chance to sling business cards and do a little bit of that outside of production. So that was really cool. And the team had a fun time. Excuse me. And yeah, so we no, we had a good time, and again, I look forward to it every year. I always make a joke that I hate it, but I really don't.
No, I mean, like it's funny too, 'cause like that inspiration or the urgency or the ideas, like I feel like everybody leaves with like a whole bunch of that stuff. I know like I did. I was like, man, I gotta do this. I gotta do this. I wanna reach out and talk to these people. It's crazy. And then like you get through all of it, the whole whirlwind, right? Like you follow up on all your emails. You do all, like I'm through pretty much everything. It's only been like a month and a half. I'm like so sick. I got like 8 months to just wait until I can go back again and do it all again next year. I mean, I definitely learned a bunch, about attending. So did my wife. She pick the shoes that looked good, not the shoes that felt good. So that was a big ol' miss. I paid like $120 to get like a full body massage at the Venetian, after her second day. I was like,
Dude, you walk a long ways. People really underestimate and don't understand how many steps you're getting every single day with such a massive trade show like that. I mean, just the back and forth is you're putting miles a day.
and
It's
there's nowhere
crazy.
to sit. It's not like every one of these booths have like a bench or chairs or anything.
No, no.
Some of them don't because they want to keep people moving through there. Like you're on your feet all day. And I cannot imagine what it would be like to work a booth for the 4 days. Like that's just brutal. And yeah, walking around to meet people is bad enough. You got to just like stand there. I think standing there might actually be worse.
I think so too. At
Not
least you're
moving.
moving. Otherwise, we always get asked like, "Hey, when's the year you're gonna have a booth at SHOT Show?" And I'm saying,
I was going to ask you,
"That's
yeah.
never,
Never.
never." In our current way that we do business, direct to consumer, it's not really a show that's conducive to like our business model.
Yeah.
So for us, I'm like, no, it's like we go there and we see some new stuff. We create some content about some new stuff. We get to see old friends. We get to have some important meetings, setting up some stuff for the coming year. Obviously, that's a big part of it. But a lot of that stuff happens organically outside of the show, I find. We're on the shop floor. Like we ran into each other, obviously, at nights. That was cool to bump into each other and have a conversation. That stuff happens organically all along the way. But then, like, the real business and whatever, I feel like happens like after hours. People are hanging out, chilling, and then that's where like the real stuff happens. And so I'm like, it just would never. It's a crazy expensive buy-in to like get started. I think you have to start with a smaller table, like 8x8 space or something, down in the downstairs basement. It's like 20 grand to get like all in, get going for one shot to get going. So I'm just like, it's not
Not worth
anything
it.
that we would do. It's not worth it, but
Yeah.
if we change direction or something and we start offering other products, that it makes sense to have like a presence at an industry trade show, where other industry members want to purchase the products or what we're offering. And maybe that's a topic for, discussion of a different day. But for now, I always tell people, I'm like, never. We get so
Not
much
doing
more done
it.
just walking the floor. We get so much more done just meeting with people, setting up meetings beforehand. And yeah, always something good comes out of SHOT Show, that's for sure.
It's expensive enough just attending, like it's Vegas, which is great, but I remember was it Monday, we wanted to watch like the college football championship
Oh yeah.
games. We went to a bar, of course, on the strip and met up with my buddy Jason, that he's a director of marketing at Theorem. And I was like looking at the menu, like $16 for a Bud Light, and I haven't been to Vegas since 2019, and I was like, fuck, I forgot how bad. And then I think the first day we were there, we went to the food court at the Venetian, not like the
Oh,
actual food, the one right outside the expo center where it's all expensive. And I paid $85 for two
Oof.
sandwiches, two waters, and a bag of chips. And I didn't even like the sandwich that much. I'd never had mortadella before. I don't like it. It's just like expensive bologna.
I mean, you're in that captured audience, and people are there thinking they're gonna win big, ready to spend money, and that's the mindset. So they're just totally capitalizing on all that. So it is what it is, but
I was ready to get pizza. She wanted a sandwich because we had pizza the night before. I was like, look, I'll eat pizza the entire week if it's going to save
every
me
day.
$180. Yeah. I did not get away with that one, surprisingly. But it's a good trip, and it's weird. I think I actually had because I only set like two appointments. I ran in and made and connected with more folks like yourself, right? Just organically moving about the show floor. Than I did with like trying to like message people like, hey, where are you at? Hey, let's connect. Hey, what booth? And nope, you just end up running into people, and it's actually really funny, but pretty cool how that all comes together. It's for people who are serious about being in the industry, and it's funny because everybody says they're a serious influencer, and then they don't go to SHOT Show, and it's like you should
You
try
gotta
to
be
find a
there.
way. Yeah.
You
Which
gotta be there.
I don't want to acknowledge that either, because I was like, I've not been. Like, I've been doing this for this is my coming up on 6 years. I just finally went, so I'm like, okay, like I
And
get
now
it
you
now.
know.
Yeah, there's a certain I don't even know what it is, but it's like a point of entry. Like you got to do it if you really want to make strong connections and do that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
So.
I know we're pushing time here a little bit, but I wanted to say thank you for
Yeah,
your car.
man.
The time to sit down. If people have questions, if they want to check out what you guys are working on, what you offer, I know your social media stuff is really, really sharp. I'm really jealous of that whole room you guys built out with the lockers and
Oh,
everything.
the new armory. We got to do an
Yeah.
armory tour video. I think people are gonna like that.
Please do it. I'll watch it a lot probably. Because I'm getting ready to redo mine. But
Nice.
where can people find you if they want to check out the holsters? And I know you guys are on socials, but for folks that may not be aware.
Website, easiest thing, www.guerrilla, GURRILLA-tactical.com. That's going to take you right to the website. All of the information, photos and videos and all sorts of stuff about all the products are going to be found there. Instagram is our biggest social media platform, and that's Guerrilla_tactical. And then we also have YouTube presence as well. That's ever growing. We're putting more and more out. We're trying to figure out things so we can have a bit more time to dedicate to YouTube and regular content. So we're still playing with that It's just one of these things that where we're at right now as a company, everybody involved wears multiple hats. So we're getting there, and we're getting to the point where we can dedicate more and more of our time to specific people doing specific things. So we're getting there. So appreciate that support. Check them out. If you like it, give us a follow. That's where all the newest stuff. And then a biggest thing is we have a pretty large mailing list, and we are pretty active with all of our new news and new products and developments and stuff that we're doing is through our mailing list. So you can just go onto our website and down at the bottom, sign up, and you even get a little discount code for doing so. And yeah, we send out weekly or biweekly emails, just kind of showcasing everything we have new or what's going on at the shop and stuff like that. So we never spam you with a bunch of crap. So it's a good spot though. Yeah.
And that's the cheat code for folks. Like, I'll honestly say the mailing lists are the big ones because I can't tell you how many times people are like, and it doesn't have to be you guys, it could be any company, right? Oh man, oh, I wish I would have known about the sale, because the algorithm fucks you over on social media and you don't see
Absolutely,
the
yeah.
company's posts and you're like, wow, I could have saved 20% off or whatever, and you miss it. If you're on the mailing list, like, look, guys, it's 2026. Like, control your mailing list. If you go 8, 12, 2 years, whatever, and you don't like any of the stuff you're getting, just unsubscribe. It's really freaking easy. But sign up for the mailing lists. That way you control what you get.
And we do a lot of like perks for being a part of our mailing list as well. So like every month there's going to be special discount codes or special buys or whatever
There you go.
for our people that are subscribed as well. And one of the biggest things that I like about mailing lists is it's really the only thing a company truly owns that's ours, right? So social media the way that is, especially in the gun space, as shadow bans or whatever, or people getting banned, or content disappearing, or people not being able to just see stuff in their feed, and relying on a as a business in 2026, relying simply on social media presence to pay your bills and pay your employees and get sales is a scary, scary thing. So businesses out there, work really hard to build your mailing list. We have, it took us over a year to really get it up to numbers that could sustain us quite well, even if social media went down tomorrow. So it's a huge thing. And I sleep better at night knowing that we can take care of our people because people still see our stuff. So
Yeah, definitely. Well, Jack, dude, it was awesome. We finally got to do it. Finally
yeah,
connected. We'll
man.
do it
Thank you
again in
so
the
much.
future. And
Yeah, let's do it anytime.
yeah, dude, we'll definitely be in touch here. So stay safe. Good luck with everything. And we'll
Yeah.
talk soon, man.
Yeah. And if you come out to the Pacific Northwest, hit us up, come check out the shop. We'll take you out in the mountains and do some shooting. So
Hell yeah, man.
thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Super good being able to connect with Jack, sit down, have the conversation. He was very apologetic when I ran into him at SHOT Show, and I was just like, dude, no sweat, man. Believe me, it happens all the time. It's just how podcasting works. People's schedules are hectic and crazy, especially in this space. Like, so many of the people that we want to talk to, we want to hear from, we want to learn from, right, are out. They're on the road, right? They're teaching classes, they're running courses, they're doing administrative stuff because their company, is ran and sustained off of those courses. Or they run a business much like what Jack does with Gorilla, right? Where, hey, we're moving. We had a sale. We got to fill orders. We're trying to grow, sustainably. Because one of the worst things you can hear about in the gun industry or the community in general, right, is that a business grew too fast. And then at some point, because we saw it, like Jack and I had talked about this a little bit, and you see this spike, right, with COVID. And then when that comes down and things deflate and normalize there, you aren't operating off that same budget anymore. And at that point, then you have to make some hard decisions to either take a pay cut as the business owner, but you're still going to be working all those hours, and then your family takes the hit, right? Or you have to potentially look at letting people go. And that sucks, right? So you want to grow sustainably because you want your business to last the test, or stand the test of time and last, right? And be around to provide those iterative improvements and better experiences and jobs and things like that. So, certainly I get it. It happens all the time, but it was great to connect with him, hear about how Gorilla got started. And I mean, here's the thing. You have a lot of choices, right? When it comes to holster companies, there's a ton out there. You know what I mean? And hearing how they go about it, hearing what their like mission is, their methodology, what's like a little bit, I would say almost the psychology behind like the what and how and why they do things. It just gives you better insight as to who you're shopping with, who you're spending money with. And those are the kinds of companies like I like to do business with. You know what I mean? For years, there's been basically a couple holster companies out there that really dominated, and it's because they were doing some of these things. Now you're seeing more people come to light. You're seeing it through their media. You're seeing it through their business practices. Most importantly, you're seeing it through the quality of their products and their product development, and maybe at the pace of their product development. You know, I think one of the stupidest questions that you can get to people from a business standpoint is when customers are like, well, oh my God, why is it taking you so long to get, you know, XYZ done? And until you understand product development, until you understand like how difficult some of these things can be to do and the importance of doing them the right way, think about some of the products, right, that have rolled out there that have just been total pieces of shit. And then everybody drags the company. You're like, oh, that thing fucking sucked. We fucking hate this. I can't believe them bastards, you know, took my money, blah, blah, blah. Well, you are also the same people trying to pressure those companies to deliver to market. So there's a little bit of consumer responsibility in all of that. I'm not saying that justifies anything by any means, but it is really cool when you see companies that are doing it the right way. Like you said, they have some ideas. They have stuff that, you know, that's coming. He teased a little bit, right? Some enhancement products, right, that are coming in potentially Q3 this year. Wouldn't commit, wouldn't overshare. I think that's really smart. Hey, leave them wanting a little bit more, right? Share what you can, and then just don't commit to anything, because the worst thing I think you can do, especially in our space where it is so heavily driven through social media communications, through Reddit and stuff, is overpromise and then underdeliver. Like, look at the backlash you're seeing some companies get right now. Like, the one that comes to mind, just because it is most recent, is the OGL-C from EOTech. People are getting super pissed about it because it's still not out. And we were promised this years ago, and the price point and blah, blah, blah. And like, I get it, man. I understand you want certain things, and certain things have to be done a certain way. And I get it. I'm almost never one of those people sitting there complaining and bitching that something's not delivered to market fast enough. But I also spend my career is in product. The product field in finance, right? So I have a different perspective on it than a lot of people do. All of this to say, it was really cool to hear about Gorilla and what they're doing and why they're doing it. And I expect them to be, you know, on the same track the next time we talk. And it's really cool seeing them grow and hear about all of that. Also, for me, really cool knowing that, like, hey, some of the brands that I look to and trust with my choices are shared, you know, in that enthusiasm by other contacts within the network, you know. So, hey, cool. Hey, have you heard of Lead and Steel? They're a fantastic company doing some really good work. We've been playing with their optics. Really, really like them. Hey, you know what? I have heard of them. Ahmad is a good friend. I like the optics a lot. Really, really cool when you can hear those things and overlap and stuff like that. So I thought it was a really cool conversation, you know, one that I didn't mind that we postponed, you know, because when you get the payoff on it, it's just a really, really cool feeling. So was really thrilled to be able to sit down and connect with Jack to talk with him. And we'll probably do it again in the future, to be honest with you. Really nice guy. And I may make that trip out, you know, the Pacific Northwest. You know, politically, you can say whatever you want about it up there, because honestly, none of us are going to change a damn thing about it. But the scenic beauty, and they have posted videos from their shop and posted pictures and stuff of what their shop location, everything looks like. And it is, man, it is very picturesque up there. We're talking about bleed out spots and everything, right? Really, really, really gorgeous. So that one I might put on the list, honestly. And if not, then maybe I just get to catch up with those guys and you know, see what's real next year at SHOT Show. It's just another one of those connections and contacts that, you know, and I know we kind of got into the SHOT Show thing at the end of the discussion there, but really, because I know some of you guys listening are in the industry and are influencers or content creators and want to go to SHOT Show, or people who are just interested in attending. It really is, as somebody who spent 5 years not going, it really is one of those things where you can just make some really, really great connections, and it is definitely a worthwhile experience. So hope you guys enjoyed the discussion, honestly. I know I did, and definitely encourage you guys to go check out what Gorilla Tactical has going on if you're in the market for a holster or just, you know, med supplies, med kit. They sell a bunch of stuff on their website. I would definitely, you know, go check that out if I were you, and subscribe to the newsletter. You know, and that's not just a shameless plug for Jack and his company. I've had multiple people in the space tell me, like, the newsletter is the one thing we control. We can't control if we get throttled up or throttled down. We can't control if we get shadow banned. The appeal system they have doesn't work. If you want to stay up to date. And it, with any of your favorite personalities and stuff, a lot of these companies have gone to the newsletter. The bonus being you get discount codes there. I've attended training classes where you sign up for that training company's newsletter. They had like a 10 or 15% off discount code in their monthly newsletter, and you can use it to save money on training classes. And as the same things with, you know, what Guerrilla Tactical is doing with their holsters and their med products and everything else, you have access to that, and then you don't have to miss out on those sales. Because I've been on the end of that. I was like, oh man, if I knew that they were selling their BLEM units for 60% off or whatever it was, I definitely would have grabbed one. And I wasn't subscribed to the newsletter. So that's what happens. But thank you guys so, so much for hanging out this week. If you aren't subscribed to the podcast, please take a moment. Make sure, as we're talking about subscribing to newsletters, you guys are subscribed to the podcast here. Turn on your notifications so you know when we drop new discussions like this. We're doing it every week with a monthly sit rep discussion, sometimes multiple if, you know, if crazy stuff pops off in the world, which is a pretty good possibility with some of the things heating up overseas, if you know what I mean. And then also, you know, the YouTube, the Instagram, all the other good stuff we have going on here for Prepared Mindset. But that is all I have for you guys this week. We got more great stuff lined up as we power through March. Q1 is almost over. Hard to believe, right? But it is. And I will have, I don't know, I'll have more next week, that's for damn sure. I forgot what I was going to say there. But thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Until then, everybody stay safe out there. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.